Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We are now on Red Circle instead of Podbean. So if you're listening to this on somebody else's Podbean, make sure you make the switch or switch to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of the other podcast apps. Also, if you are an Android person, you can catch us on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons there. You get all of our other content. We're doing a new thing there called Take Five, where you can get the latest 3 to 5 minute takeaways from our contributors about all the sports in town. Luis Tsang has something on Lynn Bowden Jr. of the Dolphins up there right now. Got 1,000 views in like 10 minutes. Maybe he should be doing all of them. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com. Spell that one out. You get the latest takeaways from Brady Hawk and others. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You got a disaster? Everybody's got a disaster these days, right? You got to check out water cleanup. Water leak, can't find out where it's coming from. You're dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business. Reach out to Michael and the crew. It's funny, actually, the other day, one of the guys on our network, David Eversole, is like, oh, there's a water cleanup truck in my neighborhood. That's right, because they service the Tri-County area. You can reach Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356. They got more than 60 years of combined experience. They're there for you 24 hours a day, 365 days per year. I assume that includes the leap year. And again, they service Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, even though they're based in Boca. Big Heat fans, reach out to Michael, Robert, and the team. You can call Michael on his personal cell at 954-579-0358. That's 954-579-0356. Six, like the number Mario Chalmers used to wear. 954-579-0356. Reach out to Michael. Again, if you've got water damage, mold damage, water leaks, any of that kind of stuff, if you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne. Yeah, five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. I assure you, I am fixing my podcast apparatus here. In the meantime, I'll be a little tinnier than usual, if that's possible. Today's floor plan, we got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. And in for Alex and Brady tonight. Alex and Brady were on the last episode with me about going small this season, super small, the Spoelstra kind of nuclear option. So check that one out. But in for them is Sean Rochester. You can follow him at SRochesterNBA. He also helps run the Biscayne Bay Brewing account. So check that out as well. Now today I'm going to do something very unfair to these two guys. First thing, I had to find older people than Alex and Brady. So that's why Sean and Greg are here with me, even though they're not as old as I am. And also I'm going to make them do something very difficult, because I think there is a consensus that Dwayne Wade is the best and most important player, at least the most important player in Miami Heat history. The three of us agree on that?
Yes, moving on.
Okay. We discussed this pre-show, and we've decided that you have to put LeBron James second, arguably the best player in Miami Heat history, but in terms of overall importance and delivering two championships, he is second. Do we agree on that?
Agreed.
Yes, I guess.
I mean, come on.
I'm just joking. Let's go.
Okay. So then you get to number three. And there is a case to be made for, you know, others, a Shaquille O'Neal, you know, a Tim Hardaway, others in the mix here. But there really are two choices now. And the fact that there are two choices is kind of remarkable when you consider that, you know, how many Hall of Famers have played for this organization. Now, Ray Allen, obviously, towards the end of his career. Gary Payton towards the end of his career. But Chris Bosh kind of in the center to end of his career. But really, this is a conversation about two people, and it's about Alonzo Mourning, who I know is dear to both of you and someone that I covered, you know, the course of his entire Heat career, and Jimmy Butler, who's playing right now. And one of those guys played 11 seasons for the Heat, or at least parts of 11 seasons, because some of those were truncated because of illness and other issues. And one has played three. And yet I do think this is actually a fair conversation to have. And some of this, you know, is kind of, I would say, it's not small sample size theater. It's kind of recency bias theater, which is that I put up a poll today on who is, you know, more significant in Miami Heat history at this point. And right now, it ended up getting a lot of votes because these ones tend to. It's up to 58% for Jimmy Butler, 42% for Alonzo Mourning. Now, I think that is colored by the audience on Twitter and our audience, which tends to run younger. Most of our audience, if you even go back, like Brady, who's with us, was not alive for the best Zoe years. Because, right? I mean, Zoe got sick in 2000. That is 22 years ago. Brady is 19. Alex was but a wee child at that point. And so the most of our audience, which tends to be in that age bracket or slightly older, does not remember Zoe finishing second in MVP voting in 99-2000, does not remember the significance of Pat Riley landing him for Glenn Rice and Khalid Reeves and other pieces to become the cornerstone of the franchise when Pat came in, does not remember the build around him, does not remember the Heat getting number one seeds with Alonzo Mourning. Or the fact that a team was put together before Zoe got sick in the summer of 2000 that probably would have contended for a championship. They just remember what Jimmy's done the past 3 years. That's not to disparage what Jimmy's done, but it is an interesting conversation, I think, at this point. So let's start it here. Sean, you brought a number to the table for their first 3 years in Miami. What is that number?
Yeah, I wanted to make the sample size equal. Since Jimmy's been there 3 years, I looked at Zoe's first 3 years, and they both averaged 20.9 points per game in those first three seasons. Obviously, different stats are going to favor different people. You know, Jimmy's not going to be the same rebounder. Jimmy's going to have more assists. Zoe's going to have more blocks. Jimmy's going to have more steals. But I thought it was interesting that exactly to the, you know, to the decimal, 20.9 points per game for both of them in their first three seasons.
And again, the other thing you got to consider there is pace, which obviously at the time the Heat were playing at an absolute snail's pace. And so Zoe's scoring was affected somewhat by that, but he was the fulcrum of the offense. He also was I think in the first 3 years, did he win Defensive Player of the Year in his third season in Miami? I believe he did. Did he not?
Third season?
Maybe, or was it fourth?
I think it was his fourth. And that's where this gets tricky with the sample sizes, because Zoe's best defensive years and where he really like took a stranglehold in the league in terms of being like the premier defender was a little bit later into his Heat tenure, where I feel like he was more focused on offense initially there. And he put it all together at the end. But can I just say, as we're kind of diving into this topic, that I almost want to say what Jimmy said to Spo in that huddle, like, you can't make me run this play, Ethan. I don't want to do this Jimmy versus Alonzo Mourning on the pecking order. I love both of them.
I understand that, but this is what we do here, and we put both of them up there. So, all right. So we'll get to more of the statistical analysis in a second. And obviously there's the finals analysis, which Zoe never got to experience in Miami. And then with the exception of when he came back, when he was, you know, not the starting center, but he was the reserve behind Shaquille O'Neal. But let's go to impact upon arrival. Okay. And then we just, Sean just put up Defensive Player of the Year 96-90. So it was actually his fourth and fifth seasons in Miami that he won Defensive Player of the Year. Okay. I was actually there for that ceremony with Bill Russell. I've never seen somebody who revered a former player more than Zoe did. I remember that was at LaSalle, a high school when they used to train. And it was like, Zoe could not stop smiling. And we were not used to Zoe smiling, I will say, at that stage. He didn't do a lot of smiling. He does now, but there used to be a Zoe day. You could only speak to Zoe one day of the week, and usually he would grunt at you, and then he'd give a 6,000-word answer to one question, and that would be the end of it. My relationship with Zoe has changed for the better quite a bit over the years. So I will say, okay, so let's get to impact, because when we're going to talk about someone in their historical nature, I mean, Dwayne is Dwayne. we know what LeBron brought, and everybody who's pissy about him leaving in 14, including one of my co-hosts here, get over it. He's one of the top two players in Miami Heat history for sure. But in terms of impact, you can absolutely make the case that Zoe made the Heat matter, right? But you can make the case that Jimmy Butler made the Heat matter again. Is that fair to say, Greg?
Absolutely. I mean, as much as this spiritually is a very difficult exercise for me, and I think for Sean as well, I'm speaking for him now. Jimmy Butler's right there. Like, this was a huge thing in terms of, Pat has said, like, we just need somebody to say they want to come, right? Well, Jimmy did that. And that, and him being so steadfast on getting to Miami, it kind of fast-tracked a rebuild that otherwise you didn't really know which direction Miami was heading. They were waiting for the next player to come, and Jimmy did that. He rejuvenated everything. He trusted the organization to surround him with players. Like, he didn't initially say, okay, I'm coming, but also completely scrap your entire roster because I want player one and player two from these two other teams to come with me. Like, that didn't happen. He trusted them to put guys like Bam Adebayo around him initially. Tyler Hero was drafted, obviously. And then, Kyle, his best friend, comes later. To me, Jimmy Butler's tenure in Miami, provided that it does not go down in flames in any way, it has as good a trajectory as any player aside from the God level Dwayne Wade. We obviously will not talk about him, but Jimmy's right there.
But Sean, if we're going to make that point then, and I appreciate Greg taking the other side of this because I know he wants to take the Zoe side. I mean, if we're going to make that point, the guy who trusted Pat first matters more, right? Because by the time that Jimmy came in, yes, we had to suffer through Whiteside and James Johnson and Deion Waiters and all the rest of that. But there was a feeling eventually Pat might figure it out, right? Because he had done it before. But when Pat arrived here in Miami, I mean, you know, he had to trade his best player, Glenn Rice, to get somebody, but the organization was rudderless. I mean, it was not, I mean, if you followed them in those years as I did, as Greg did, I mean, they were nondescript. This was a football town. Getting Zoe was like, okay, we're stamping it. What's crazy too is, and we talked about this on a previous podcast, is that Bam is still younger than Zoe was when he arrived. But the whole organization was put on Zoe at that point. And he kind of immediately, with the exception of the technicals where he couldn't control his temper and things like that, like, he sort of immediately delivered. I got to think the guy who I got to think if we're going to say, OK, point to one of them for this, Zoe coming first matters more than Jimmy coming later. Right.
Yeah. You know, I think to Greg's point about the, you know, Jimmy making us relevant after that, you know, kind of mediocre times of giving guys contracts that probably didn't deserve them. That's what happened in 1995. We just have so many fans in our network that don't remember it. You know, I mean, think back to those years before Zoe came. I mean, the thing that I remember is Glenn Rice scoring, 56 against the Magic, Orlando. Like April 1995, like probably our only NBA on NBC, you know, time ever. What else? Like, Glenn Rice went in the three-point contest and Harold Miner won in the dunk contest. That's the only things we ever accomplished. So if you don't have Zoe and Pat comes, what are we talking about? Like, Matt Geiger is the bearer of Heat culture with Brad Lojas and Glenn Rice. Like, I think they get linked so much because the timing is so close, but Zoe made us who we are. I know Pat has a lot to do with that, but I think the other thing that I think gives the tiebreaker to Zoe in my argument is the community stuff. You know, the Zoe Summer Groove, the stuff that he did in the community, Overtown Youth Center. Not that Jimmy isn't a good guy and doesn't give back, but I think we're looking at the big picture, and I think Zoe has done more than what Jimmy has in that case.
All right, and so Zoe got a ring.
Well, he did, but okay, but let's go here with the next part of this, because Zoe got a ring, but we know when Zoe got a ring, it was 2006, and that was 11 years into Zoe being here after, you know, leaving for, I mean, obviously there was the Nets thing, right? And then Toronto, him not wanting to play with Toronto, and then him kind of getting into the spat with Mickey, you know, after Mickey had, you know, giving him the plane to fly back and all that. And I remember being at a Zoe Summer Groove because I went to all of them during that period of time. It was a must attend event. Okay. Even if you just got to see Darius Miles every year, And so Darius Miles was always there, like 11 straight years. Pat tried to trade for him. Darius Miles racking up 65 points by shooting a bunch of five-pointers in Zoe's summer group. But I remember Zoe's speech at a hotel, one of the hotels, it might have been an Intercontinental down in Miami, where he was very angry at the organization at that time. So there was some bitterness. I mean, people forget that too, just like they forget the bitterness with Bosch. They do tend to remember the bitterness with Wade, okay, and LeBron, but they don't tend to remember the bitterness with the other two. But, and Shaq, they remember that one too. And there's been bitterness with everybody, but like everybody comes back happy at some point. But I will say that if you look at the Zoe situation throughout, you can say that Zoe had, before he got sick, 1990, well, he came here 95, correct? So he had 95, 96, 96, 97, 97, 98, 98, 99, 99, 2000, which was the year he was second MVP voting, before they made the changes, and then he got sick that summer when they were up at that fall when they were up at FAU. He had five full seasons to do what Jimmy Butler has done, you know, once in 3 years, and was you know, one three-pointer away from doing twice. So, if we're going to separate Zoe's career and say pre-sickness, right, pre-illness, okay, obviously he was a younger player than Jimmy was during this period of time, but pre-illness, Greg, Jimmy got him to the finals once, nearly got him there twice. Zoe got him to the conference finals once, but otherwise couldn't get him out of the first round against the Knicks. So isn't that a point for Jimmy?
Yes, I know. And I mean, again, I don't like having to concede this, but you're right. I mean, like, let's just say that. Do you know what people say about Jimmy, or what they did say after that Milwaukee series where Miami was swept out of the first round? Imagine if that happened 4 years in a row to the same team, whether it be like Milwaukee or pick another team. Who's Miami's, like Boston or Philadelphia? That's a good one. Let's just say that the Sixers eliminated the Heat 3 or 4 years consecutively on the Heat's home floor. I mean, how are we absorbing that in today's climate? So to me, this is where we start to edge Jimmy. I know that Alonzo was the torchbearer at the beginning, but we're talking about, it's a small sample size for Jimmy. He still has legacy to build in Miami, but for now, I feel like in the short amount of time he's been here, he's gotten to the place that Alonzo couldn't quite get them to.
Sean, did Zoe have a better team in those 5 years than Jimmy's had in his three? I'm talking about the first five, before pre-illness, 95 to 2000.
I think part of it, and I think Greg would agree with this, is that we look back on it so fondly that I want to say yes, but I don't know. I mean, I guess when you look at it, I mean, you got Hardaway, the Marley, the Bruce Bowens, PJ Brown, Mashburn, different style of basketball. But I think he probably did. And there's no doubt, like you've been talking about, Jimmy's done more on the floor with his team and for his team than what Zoe accomplished in those 5 years. You know, statistically, it's not even close.
But Sean, let me challenge on this a little. Jimmy, now again, it was Zoe's fifth year, but Jimmy hasn't been second in MVP voting.
True.
Zoe was. I mean, you have to compare to peers, right? We're comparing pace, we're comparing all that. Zoe was legit. I traveled with that team. Zoe was a force. Like that, his fifth year with Miami, he was kind of at the peak of his powers before he got sick.
And you know what? If you rewrite history, he went to one Eastern Conference Finals. We got beat, 4-1 or 4-2 to the Bulls? Obviously, one of the greatest teams ever.
4-1, right? Was it not?
4-1.
They didn't win two. I know that. Was that the series where Michael played 72 holes of golf before game four? I think it was,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and right. Zoe guaranteed a victory, and they got one in Miami. But ultimately, Tim Hardaway's game seven against New York really punched that ticket. Like, that was a big part of that entire run.
That Tim Hardaway? And then we're going to go to break, and then we're going to do more of this, because I feel like we're wavering back and forth here, which is good. Was that Tim Hardaway, we know was not the Tim Hardaway of Golden State, was that Tim Hardaway better than any second best player that Jimmy has played with these 3 years? Was that Tim Hardaway better than this Bam Adebayo?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Okay, we're going to discuss
the leader of those teams. I hate to say this. I get it.
I'm not diminishing Tim. Tim's a Hall of Famer. We just know that Tim was hurt a lot, right? But yes, at times Tim was the best player on the team. Not all the time. It's kind of like the Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor conversation I have with the Dolphins, which I know Sean's wearing a Dolphins hat right now, where like Zach was the most like Jason had the moments, more of them. But Zach was the most consistent star of that era.
It's a great analogy.
Right. And yet when you look at it, somehow Jason, who I love to death, and everybody knows that, and I covered Jason from the very beginning and all the rest. But like Jason is a first ballot Hall of Famer and Zach can't get in the Hall of Fame. And I don't know that there's that great a difference between the two of them. And I feel the same way about Zoe and Tim. And it took Tim longer. We know, obviously, there were other circumstances there. But I've always looked at them kind of the same way. But after the break, I want to do more of this because I feel like you're both teetering here. I'm not trying to force you in any direction. I want to raise the caveats. All right. But we do want to tell you about a great sponsor. And it's something that both of you guys participate in. So since we got both of you here, we'll explain it a little bit this time. It's called Better Edge. It's our official gambling partner. You can find them at Better Edge, BETTOR Edge.com/5reasons. That's the number 5 with reasons. The reason we tell you to do that, 5 reasons, is because you get $20 to play when you go to that link. And you can play this in 45 states in this country. That's what's different about this. It's not offshore gambling. It's not shady. It's peer-to-peer. They have a whole community on there. You can find the line that you want. Sean has kind of been spearheading our effort over there, and we're going to be doing some tournaments with the NFL. That's all coming up this week, and also college football. We got a new show coming out called Setting the Edge, which is going to be a weekly show that Sean, Tony Schwartz, and others are going to host. But just for example, just real quick here, Greg, just explain kind of what you did today, which makes you a complete degenerate, but you use Better Edge for this.
I did. There's two success stories. I'm going to be quick with them. One of them's from yesterday when college football kicked off. We had a cool tip in a Twitter group chat that I shall not speak any further about, that Vanderbilt -9 was just an absolute lock. So like, this is the cool part about Better Edge, the way that it intuitively works for me, right? I had $50 to put down on Vanderbilt. And the way that that got filled is that there were a lot of other people on the platform that wanted to bet $10. So I bet my 50, the bet was fulfilled by all these different open orders of these other people that wanted to bet a slightly less amount. And of course I cleaned up shop and Vanderbilt won, got -9. And, so I won that one. And then playing the Pittsburgh Steelers -6 against the Detroit Lions preseason football. This is why Ethan's calling me a degenerate. I felt like that was a slam dunk. They got quarterback competition in Pittsburgh and that hit too. So, in 2 days, up to $343. Like, listen, I am not a dude who's done a lot of betting prior to playing on this platform. It's a lot of fun. Go to the links that we have posted on all of our pages so you get that $20, because that's how I started playing, and I'm up to $350. I mean, I'll take that every day of the week, 20 to 350. That's no-brainer, right?
BetterEdge.com/5reasons. Sean, just tell everybody about the tournaments we're going to be running.
Yeah, so starting next week on Setting Edge, we're going to be making some picks on college football and NFL. There's going to be competitions on Better Edge. Basically, what you can do is we'll set a card. You pick 10 games. It can be the 10 games we pick. It can be spreads, totals, whatever you want. And you're trying to get the most right out of 10. And the winners, the top 50% for the first week, will get their money doubled. So it'll be a $10 entry. If you finish in the top half, you double up your money. We'll be changing that each week. Sometimes it's going to be like beat the host. So you might just have to finish better than me, which is extremely difficult. I wouldn't suggest wasting your money doing that because I'll probably win it. But also you can do like top 3 finishers, things like that. It's going to be a lot of fun once football starts going.
All right. So BetterEdge.com/5reasons. Get your $20 and then start to play in the tournament.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, so who is let's do this because I want to press you guys on this a little bit more. So who is leading for both of you right now? Greg?
Oh, man, this is really difficult. I'm going to say Jimmy's in the lead, but I have a huge caveat, and I'm not going to give it up yet. But it's Jimmy. Jimmy's in the lead. Where are you at, Sean?
I'm sticking with Zoe still. You guys are talking me. I'm wavering. Ethan's right. I'm kind of on the fence a little bit more. I do have one thing I want to point out about Zoe. So if we get to our final shots, I want to point that out. But yeah, I'm close and I'm getting getting a little closer.
Let me throw this one at you then, Sean. I'll start with you. So let's say that what happened to Jimmy in his first year here had happened to Zoe. You're in a bubble. You lose Hardaway. Like Jimmy lost Dragic, okay? You lose P.J. Brown, like Jimmy lost Bam. Does Zoe go toe-to-toe with LeBron James and take that series to six games, yes or no?
I mean, I guess what are we looking at? Kurt Thomas stepping up and P.J.'s
Was Kurt? Well, no. Well, Kurt.
I don't
well,
even
Kurt
know.
Was traded for Nash, so you're relying on Nash. Then you've got right, and you need Charlotte Nash. Then you don't Charlotte New Orleans Nash. You don't need Miami Nash for that one.
You know, Bruce Bowen,
Anthony Carter. You can choose which of the backup point guards. It could be Crotty, Murdoch, Terry Porter, or Anthony Carter could be filling in there for Timmy, just like you had to fill in for Dragic.
We're losing our audience so fast not knowing these names.
I know. They don't know who any of these people are. Well, AC's on the coaching staff and Crotty's at the booths. I hope they know those two. Terry Porter might be asking a little much for our audience, but go ahead.
You know, different style of basketball on that day. It ran through the centers, but I still don't think – I don't think Zoe led that way. You know, he dominated games on defense. He dominated games through effort. He obviously could score the ball, but, like, he's not going to do what Jimmy did. Those like push on the back and carry us. I think Zoe really needed a Timmy or a Mash or whoever it was at that point.
Listen, the night that Alonzo Mourning got in a fight with Larry Johnson on New York's home floor, I believe that was a game four. And then that caused him to miss a game five. There were like literally the conversation amongst Heat Nation was, is this guy a hothead to the point that he can't lead your franchise? That was a question that was asked. Since Jimmy Butler has came, he has been able to like basically impose his will to the point that he can carry a team. And Alonzo, initially, they were worried whether he was going to be able to do that or not. I love Zoe. He figured it out in the end. The 06 stuff is absolutely legendary. He was possessed in game six of the Dallas series in 2006, and that kind of stuff will never go away. Jimmy, this is my caveat, and I'll end here with what I'm going to talk about on this podcast. Jimmy has to end on good terms in Miami. I think that that's important to all of this because Alonzo wrapped a big, beautiful bow on his career with Miami with everything that's transpired afterwards and him being a carrier of the culture, going into those recruiting meetings, all of that kind of stuff adds to Alonzo's allure. So to me, I feel like Jimmy can't like leave on bad terms. That's going to change the equation for me personally.
Yeah, but he is going to leave. Like whether he leaves on bad terms or I mean, when we're talking about the hothead thing, like it's two different types. With Jimmy, it's more inside the organization. And with Zoe, it's more on the court stuff that he had to harness, which he did over the course of time. Him accepting a backup role to Shaquille O'Neal, somebody who had mocked him at times throughout his career, I think is something we don't talk about enough. Taking that role on, accepting the minutes and the importance of those minutes. And of course, if Zoe doesn't get hurt the next year, you know, he probably plays for a couple more seasons in Miami. But I mean, none of us believe that Jimmy Butler is going to stay on as an ambassador of the organization. Like Jimmy's heading to the south of France or something else when he's done. He's not, I don't see Jimmy staying with the Heat organization or anybody else. I mean, he's trying to build a $1 billion, you know, coffee business right now. And he has never done the stuff in the Miami community through 3 years that Zoe has. I mean, that's not even close. I mean, Jimmy, most of what Jimmy still does is in Chicago. So I think what you're saying, Greg, is it just has to end on good terms, right? Like it's not that he's not going to replicate what Zoe is. I mean, he's not going to be I mean, Pat will be 106 years old, okay, and attending games, okay? And Jimmy's not going to be sitting by his side. Zoe will, right?
No, you're right. No, Jimmy's going to do his own thing. That's not what I meant. I meant more in that, like, if Jimmy were to demand a trade or something like that, and that's how this ends, it could put a little bit of a bruise on the era.
But Zoe, I mean,
ended with New Jersey, I know.
I mean, it's just that he came back. That's all. I mean, it just went worse in New Jersey and Toronto than it went here.
So Jimmy demands a trade, then he comes back in his, when he's 38 years old, 39 years old, and then he plays in a game six, has a game at Zoe moment, and then we're all good. But if that doesn't happen, then it's an issue.
Sean, here's what would, well, obviously the longevity is a big part of this. We're talking 11 years, even if it was parts versus three. But one of the things that would push me in Zoe's direction is that I don't know that Pat would have been able to implement the culture in Miami without Zoe. We used to joke about how basically when you interviewed Zoe, you were basically interviewing Pat. He constantly used his phrases like adversity introduces a man to himself, like over and over and over. Whereas Tibby would like take little pot shots at Pat. Zoe was basically, I mean, we called him a Pat parrot in a lot of ways. And, you know, but he believed it. That's the thing. He wasn't saying it. And in an era where a lot of stars or superstars, which Zoe was, I mean, you're second in MVP or a superstar, don't align with their coaches. The fact that Zoe aligned with the coach probably set the franchise up for the next 10 years in terms of Pat maintaining the credibility that he had in LA and New York.
Yeah. And I think that goes into the John Thompson thing, the connection with Patrick, you know, the Riley connection with Patrick Ewing, obviously. I think you're right. Without Zoe, you don't have that person buying into the culture. It carries on moving forward. He's sort of the bridge besides Riley that connects all these different eras. I'm still standing fast, man. I'm still staying on Zoe. This is what I was going to say. Let me ask you guys this. They both have one Eastern Conference Finals. They both have had two All-Stars in their first 3 years. If we fast forward a little bit, I know it takes us out of the first 3 years, but that 99-2000 season when they lost in the first round in the lockout season, that was probably their best chance in theory, right? The Knicks went all the way to the finals.
Well, the lockout season was 98-99, right?
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yeah,
right.
But that was the season. You're right. They had the best team. There was no doubt about it.
Lost in the first round of the Knicks, and Knicks went on and played the Lakers, correct, in the finals and lost?
The Knicks played the Spurs in 99.
Spurs, I'm sorry.
2000 was the year that, hold on a second. The Lakers were in the finals in 2000, were they not?
They played the Indiana Pacers in that
Correct.
But the Knicks played the Spurs. That would have been a series where we would have matched up. We had two bigs that could have went against Duncan and Robinson. I think that was our best chance if you think back on it.
We got you to say Duncan Robinson on the podcast, by the way, accidentally.
So that would have given Zoe two Eastern Conference Finals plus one Finals, just like Jimmy, two All-Stars. But
Sean, to do that, he would have had to have won two more rounds after the one that he lost. And I'm not blaming Zoe for the losses in those first round series. Okay. No. I mean, we can talk about the Van Gundy thing and all that, and Zoe maybe not raising his level at times. And at times, Zoe was outplayed by Patrick. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, Patrick, you know, but Patrick outplayed a lot of people, particularly somebody who was kind of his mentee in a lot of ways. But he didn't, I think to Greg's point, when I think of great playoff moments for the Heat during that period of time, it's more Tim than Zoe, right? I mean, there were more bad games for Tim. There was more variance for Tim. But it's kind of like with Zoe, you sort of knew what you were getting, right? You were getting pretty much 22-9 with three blocks. And, you know, that's what you were getting, right? And probably a missed free throw in the last 3 minutes that drove you crazy. And that's, you know, and a lot of snarling and all the rest of it. Whereas Tim could give you 35, but then he could shoot you out of a different game. So there was more up and down. And then with Nash, there was just shrinking. And that was a big part of the problem there, right? So Sean, I understand your point, but it does get back to, like, he had to carry them over the Knicks one of those times, right? Like, I just want, And the time that they got past the Knicks was everybody was suspended.
And Timmy dropped 38 in game seven. So it's like, what are we doing there?
Right. I mean, Jimmy's numbers. The Milwaukee series the second year, did Zoe ever have a series where he was outscored by the equivalent of Bryn Forbes? No. Okay.
No.
I mean, that the series
Patrick used to sun him pretty much every playoffs. Like, that was a known thing because Alonzo used to sun Dikembe. Like, that's how that worked.
Right. But we're talking about Patrick Ewing, Hall of Famer, arguably the best player in New York Knicks history. Like, I mean, we're not talking about Bryn Forbes, right? Or,
true.
I mean, it would be like having a conversation of Jimmy was quote unquote sunned by Giannis, okay, or somebody.
Herb Williams. I'm talking about Zoe, like back then.
Oh, Zoe, yeah, no, right, exactly. Like Herb Williams or Anthony Bonner or any of the other scrub bigs that the Knicks would bring off the bench.
Chris Dudley,
right. Yeah, there were Chris Dudley minutes in there, right? Like that's the whole Ewing theory thing. Here's how I come down on this, and then I'm going to let you guys close this. And again, we do have one more sponsor to mention. Our fantasy partner, Prize Picks. Use code 5, FIVE. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100 at Prize Picks. But make sure you're using the code 5, FIVE. You can download it from the Google Play Store or from the Apple App Store, or just get it at prizepicks.com. All right, so here's where I am on this, okay? I think that Jimmy is on the trajectory to pass, though. That's where I'm at. I think their first 3 years, the fact that Zoe established a footprint here and made the franchise matter is more significant than what Jimmy has accomplished in these 3 years, even though Jimmy took a team to the finals and right close to the finals 2 out of the 3 years and then played at an obscene level for 2 of those 3 years. I think Zoe's consistency and longevity, coming back, repairing things, taking the role behind Shaq, becoming sort of the standard bearer for the franchise, and then staying, Zoe is a more significant figure in Heat history. But I will say this, Jimmy's not far off. I feel like at this point, if Jimmy can do it now with what is, we talk about a running it back cast, but it's going to be a cast that's going to require him to play differently, perhaps. You know, we've talked a lot of episodes about him having to play the four and all that. I think at that point you can make the case for Jimmy, but I do have in the back of my mind what Greg is saying, that I feel like it may not end up ending well. And that I think is going to color the way that we view this, because again, no matter how Zoe's thing ended the first time, he's now sitting in the stands with Pat Riley on the road at playoff games. And it's still, when you see Alonzo Mourning, you think Miami Heat. Right. So that's where I'm at, even though the accomplishment of reaching the finals twice in 3 years is not something that Zoe can touch from a team perspective. Is that fair?
I don't know.
Don't both answer at once.
You know, I think you're wording the trajectory. He's on pace to pass him. When you're talking on the court, I think absolutely. We talked about the off the court stuff goes towards Zoe. But if you look back in 5 years or in 3 more years, when it's, you know, 5 years later, I think it's a good argument. I'm going to stay with Zoe just because I'm going to be loyal and I don't want to get a text message or a call in the next couple of days from this. But I'll let Greg go on his side.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to live dangerously, and I'm going to say that for now, I project that Jimmy Butler will
you're like the CNN election room at the midterms.
But that's as far as I'll go right now.
I'm
projecting a Jimmy Butler victory.
Let me ask you this, and we'll close with this. Is the Jimmy Butler era going to end better than LeBron James era ended? Because that colors how we talk about LeBron. Because look, if LeBron stays 2 or 3 more years and wins another championship, with all love and respect for Dwayne Wade, LeBron James is probably considered the best player in franchise history. Is that fair? If he stays.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, I'm just saying, is that fair?
I guess it's kind of fair, but it's making me feel uncomfortable.
I think even Dwayne would agree with that. Sean, is that fair? If LeBron had stayed for 2 or 3 more years, let him put Lowry or Gasol or any of the other players they were trying to put around him, at that time, not Josh McRoberts and, you know, washed up Danny Granger. If Pat had fixed the thing within 2 years, got another title, and then they leave on good terms, or I'm not going to say LeBron was still there, but let's just say he stayed longer, one more, would it be fair to say that LeBron, Pat, because Dwayne probably doesn't leave then too. So that's the other thing. You got it. There's dominoes that fall here, right? But like, would it be fair that LeBron would be perceived as the best player in not, he is the best player. Let's just be honest. Okay. But he's one of the two best players of all time, but like the player that we associate most with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, that's tough. And I think if you ask anybody outside of Miami Heat fandom, they would answer LeBron James, like as the best player, like you keep alluding to. But we have that, like Dwayne is ours. You know, we don't want to let go of him.
Well, he's Utah's,
I think that's what
now.
We're doing. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think in your scenario where you project it forward.
Greg's shooting me dirty looks here. People can't see this.
I think I would agree with you. I think, you know, it's definitely closer than it is, because right now I think we would all put Dwayne number one. If he would have stayed, leaves on good terms, wins another title, maybe an MVP, he might have to give the edge. But I know I don't want to say it. Greg doesn't want to say it.
So number one, Dwayne. Number two, LeBron. And we are in agreement that Zoe is still three, but Jimmy is fourth and with a bullet. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Okay. And then fifth is who? Shaq or Tibby or Chris? Isn't that the conversation?
UD.
UD. We'll go with UD. I like that one. I like that one a lot. All right. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to Greg. Zoe's not going to be angry at any of us now, right? Like, no, we're good. We're good. I think we cleared the bar here. Jimmy doesn't care. I know that. Jimmy doesn't care. Jimmy is good. I'm telling you. Once Jimmy's done with basketball, I asked him about playing until 40. He laughed at me. I thought he was going to kill me. Jimmy's here to get a ring. I think once he gets a ring, like literally he's going to be playing tennis and drinking coffee somewhere. I think that's where he's headed. I don't think you're going to see him with an, like I said, a community ambassador role with the Miami Heat anytime soon. This is not Jimmy's thing. All right. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks. Use code 5, FIVE, betteredge.com/5reasons. Get in on those tournaments. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.